There's an old song that I want to use for the title of this message. And the title is, "You May Have All This World, Just Give Me Jesus." Yes, I heard my mother say, I heard my grandmother say, I heard my father say, all of them before they died, I heard them all say, "You may have all this world, just give me Jesus." And in this gospel today, we are asked a very important question by the Lord. And the answer fundamentally, or the question fundamentally is this: what do you most value? What is it that is most important and most valuable to you? Now be careful. Don't rush to answer, because you see, we tend to sometimes answer questions the way we should answer them, rather than the honest answer. Now, you know, a time when we do this, when we go to the doctor. "Now, how much are you really eating?" says the doctor. "Oh, just like a little bird, doctor." "All day long." All right, now. Are you really, oh, no, doctor, I've eliminated salt, and I've, oh, yes, well, sort of. So you see, when we're with the doctor, and Jesus is our doctor, someone say amen, it's good to answer him honestly, see? And so the Lord says, "Now look, come to me and ponder with me this question. What is it that you most value, honestly?" And we've already spent a little time reflecting on that at the beginning of Mass. I asked you, what would have brought you out on a blazing hot day? You know, we're used to hot weather here in the Mid-Atlantic. In fact, I heard it on the Weather Channel that the meteorologist voted that D.C., Washington, D.C., right here, is the hottest city on the East Coast. You see, Atlanta, Georgia is at a higher elevation, and even places like Jacksonville have more influence with the ocean breezes, but we're just sort of in this sultry former swamp known as Washington, amen? The hottest city on the East Coast, but this is over the top, amen? What brought you out? And part of the answer is that you do value more than your comfort what you get here. It's just too important not to come, even if there's hot weather, even if there are difficulties in getting here. In the end, it's just too important to you to just say, "Well, I'm going to skip it today." And I thank God for your presence here today, because it's a sign that the Lord's at work in your heart, helping you to value more and more his kingdom, even when the price gets a little higher, even when the difficulties set in, even when it means enduring a hot, sweaty ride on a bus whose air conditioner works, sorta, even when it means having to endure the difficulties. You're here, and it's a sign that God is at work. And yet still the question remains for us: what honestly is most important in your life? And to some degree, we can start to say, "I see what the Lord is doing. He's helping me to value the kingdom more and more over anything in this world, including my comfort." But there is still a work to do. You might as well just be honest, amen? I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I used to be. I'm still not what I want to be. All right, church. So let's begin to look at this gospel in three movements. And the three movements are entitled "What?", "Worth?", and "Warning." The first movement, "What?". The Lord gives three images for the kingdom, and I just want to look at two of them to begin with, and we'll postpone the third for the last, for the final part of the sermon. Now, what? The Lord uses two images for the kingdom here: the buried treasure and the pearl. And these two images are not just pulled out of thin air. They're carefully chosen by Jesus. And basically what they end up teaching us is that the two greatest things that the Lord wants to do for you and me is to give us a new heart and a new mind. And that's just another way of saying he wants to give us a completely new self. Because our heart and our mind are who we are. Now let's look at both images. First of all, the first image of buried treasure that a man finds, and he goes and he sells everything he has to get that treasure. Everything. Now, what is the image of this treasure? What is it about? Well, you may remember that in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord spoke elsewhere about, he spoke there about treasure as well. And he links it to our heart. Listen to what the Lord says in Matthew chapter 6. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, for after all, moths and rust can destroy and thieves can break in and steal. In other words, you're not going to keep it anyway. And he then says to us, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moths and rust do not destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. And then he says the key phrase for us today, for where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. For where your treasure is, that is where your heart will be. And so today's gospel, a man finds a treasure. And seeing it as a treasure, his heart goes there. And nothing else matters. He goes and sells it, casts it all away like rubbish, just to have this treasure. Because that's where his heart is. And the Lord says, don't you see? I want to give you a new heart. So that what you desire changes for the better. So that what you want, the good things waiting for you in heaven and all the gifts of God available now, that's what you're going to really want more and more. Oh, says the Lord, I want to give you a new heart. You know, that promise of the new heart goes all the way back into the Old Testament. Ezekiel 36 says this, oh, my people, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you'll be clean. And I will cleanse you from your impurities and from all your idols. There are a number of families here today. There's going to be 5 baptisms today following this Mass. Some of the young ones among us are going to be cleansed. And the Lord then goes on to say, and I will give you a new heart. I will put my spirit within you. I will take from you your heart of stone. And I will give you a new heart with which to love. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and to be careful to obey my laws. Yes, says the Lord, you're going to start keeping my commandments, not because you have to, because I might crush you like some kind of a bug if you don't. You're not going to keep commandments for that reason. You're going to keep my commandments and follow my paths and have my priorities because you want to. Because I'll put it in your heart. I'll convert your desires and make your truest desires the things of God and God himself and all the things waiting for you in heaven. What a great promise the Lord is giving us. How many of you know that having a new heart is a mighty fine gift? Amen? And we're going to return to this concept of the heart in just a minute. But I just want to introduce it now. To have a new heart is to have the same desires as God, where you begin to desire righteousness, holiness, justice, chastity, mercy, forgiveness. You begin to love as God loves. You love the things that God loves and the people that God loves. Yes, even those who treat you badly, even enemies, even those who misunderstand you, you'll have an affection and a love for them because God will put it there. God can do that, and it's a gift to seek, and it is a precious treasure. So the first image of buried treasure is an image for the new heart. The second image of the pearl is an image for wisdom. The wisdom of God. In the Old Testament, in the wisdom tradition, wisdom is often called a pearl. A pearl. The Lord says in Matthew 6, he says, listen, don't cast pearls before swine. It's not meant to be a hurtful saying, but what he is saying is that there are not everyone is able yet to hear the full wisdom of God. And frankly, all of us aren't either. We have to, I don't know about you, but I've had to be led in stages to appreciate the full wisdom of God. And that's still happening. And so there's a beautiful vision here of wisdom. Now, this then, brothers and sisters, is I'm going to say is the gift of a new mind. You see, the Lord wants to give us a new mind, a new way of thinking, so that we start to think more as God thinks rather than the world. We start to have God's priorities. We start to appreciate what God appreciates, and we understand his teachings, and they begin to make sense to us, and we begin to see how the thinking of the world is so flawed and how precious and what an incredible treasure the wisdom, the knowledge, the thinking of God is. We take up the world's priorities, we die. But with this gift of the new mind, we begin to take up God's priorities and we begin to think in a godly way. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, listen, we have the mind of Christ. You see, it's to think in a completely different way. Our whole thought life transformed, becoming more biblical, more godly, more deeply immersed in the wisdom of God, which is folly to this world, but the wisdom of this world is folly to God. And so we begin to have this new mind that is given to us. So here's the pearl of great price. It is the new mind. Two gifts, a new mind and a new heart. Now that's really another way of saying a completely new self, a completely transformed human person. You say, but wait a minute, Father, what about my body? Well, that'll wait. In fact, the Bible says that we've received the first fruits in our soul. Our bodies, however, are heading south. they're going down. But they will rise one day when the trumpet shall sound in that great getting up morning. These old bodies of ours will come out of the tomb and they'll be gloriously transformed. But for now, well, too bad. Now, I say that not just for humor's sake, but, you know, we live in a world which is obsessed with the body, but very neglectful of the soul and the spirit. New mind, new heart, come on, give me six-pack abs. And I want them without having to exert any effort. I don't have to go on a special diet. I want to lose weight without going on a diet just by reading this book, 1995, plus shipping and handling. I want my high school body back. You know, my high school body was 100 pounds lighter. On the other hand, you couldn't see me from sideways on either. But listen, we're obsessed with the physical body. And look, take good care of your health. I'm not telling you to ignore your body. I'm not telling you to not follow proper nutrition and get proper rest. I'm not telling you that, but I'm just saying don't become obsessed by this, because the body is going south. And you know, as we get older, we're just not going to beat every ache and pain, every extra pound. We're just not going to beat it. So at some point we begin to settle in and we focus on what God is offering right now, which is a new mind and a new heart, and we rejoice in what God is doing in our life. And even as we get older, it's just going to get better. The body's going to get worse. See, but more and more, I'm coming alive with the Lord, and more, I'm in the great dance with God. I may have to use a walker as I get older, but I'm going to dance more and more, because God is renewing my heart, and he's renewing my soul. The body will wait. But for now, God is giving me this great gift, this pearl of great cost, and this buried treasure that's worth everything. That's what God is offering. So take care of your bodies, but don't let this world dupe you into thinking that your body can just be as perfect as it was when you were in high school. It ain't gonna happen. You can spend your money on the products, but in the end, the body is going to die. Are we clear? Spend a little extra time on your soul. That's God's priority right now. The body will rise, and He'll take care of that. And that will be. You won't even have to spend $19.95 for that. God will just provide that free of charge. All right, now, we talked about what? I wanted you to see these two images, the pearl and the buried treasure. But here comes the key question now. What is this gift of the kingdom worth? What is it worth? And the answer? Everything. Everything. It is worth everything. These gifts, if you will, are so precious to us that whatever it takes to receive them, we want to be willing to undertake the cost. Now listen, be careful here. You've got two images of men who one finds a buried treasure and one finds a pearl. And I want you to be careful here, though, not to reduce this to a moralism. And what I mean by a moralism is, you are now told that you must go out and forsake everything so that God's kingdom will come to you. First of all, you're not going to do that. Secondly, your flesh can't pull it off. Thirdly, you really can't buy the kingdom. You just don't have enough. What this text is saying, pay attention to these two men. What is the driving force? Is it, oh, I have to go sell everything. I like this pearl, but I have to go give up everything. And sulkingly they go and give up everything. That is not the parable, is it? The parable is, wow, what a treasure. And they sell everything just for the treasure. And they do it not only willingly, but eagerly. They run to do it. They don't have to get dragged there. That's the moralism. Do good, avoid evil, purchase heaven. You can't afford it. Only God can work this in you. And what God wants to do for all of us here is to put within us a desire for the kingdom that is so deep, that is so eager and enthusiastic that we willingly begin to let go of the things of this world. The driving force is the value, the worth of the kingdom of heaven. Nothing else really matters to us the more we grab hold of that. And if anything gets between me and the Lord, it goes. Not because I have to. I just want to get rid of it because it's between me and God. An old hymn says, there's nothing between my soul and the Savior. Nothing between. Nothing between. My soul and the Savior. Now the Lord can do that for you. But you see, it has to be His work. Our flesh is going to cling and not want to let go of anything we've got. Only the gift of God working through our spirit can help us to begin to so value God and the things of God that we just begin naturally to let go of the things of this world. We value them less, we need them less, and little by little we start to simplify and our life becomes about one thing. One thing. Are you praying with me? You see, what happens in a soul that begins to really love God is that they would rather pray than watch 3 hours of TV every night. Maybe a quick half hour or something informative, and that's enough. They'd rather now go and pray. They'd rather read scripture. They'd rather, because they value it more than some stupid sitcom. They'd rather come to Mass on Sunday than go play tennis. They like tennis, but they'd prefer God. Tennis may have a place. We'll make the tennis day on Tuesday afternoon. But it's Sunday, I'm going to be in God's house. I'd rather be in God's house. You came today because you value something here. You went through a hot weather to get here because it matters to you. You are willing to pay the extra cost today. And you know, those who don't want to come, they're going to find, no matter what the cost, they're going to say it's too much. You know, it's too hot, it's too cold. Well, now it's perfect, 72 degrees, it's a great day to go out and play tennis. There's always going to be some reason that someone who doesn't value God and the things of God will find to prefer the world. But there's something underway in your heart right now that brought you here today. And God is saying, trust me, I will grow this grace in you if you will let me, so that you will increasingly value me and my kingdom that I'm offering you more than anything this world offers. And more, you'll say, you know, I don't need to spend $10,000 on this or that. I'd rather give it to the poor. Or I'd rather invest it in my child's college education. I don't really need the bigger screen. I'm okay with what I've got. I'd rather spend time with God, spend time with my family, than run around to Walmart and buy $1,000 worth of stuff I don't really need. I'd rather stay home and raise my kids than have an extra income. For what? And my kids are in daycare and they don't know me, and they're pregnant at 14 and the other one's on drugs. I'd rather be focused on the important things in my life. It's okay to live in a small house. I don't need the big thing. You see the vision? It's not that, oh, I have to give all this up. It's awful. I can't stand it. I hate it. Please, Lord, take me now. That's not what the Lord is saying. That's the moralism. What the Lord is offering is a heart that is so set on what he loves and who he loves that I don't care about all these other things that the world is offering, all the trinkets. It's just nothing but trinkets to me. Oh, nothing between my soul and the Savior. And then suddenly we begin to say, I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. And it's not just a slogan, it's a reality in my life. I'd rather have Jesus than some big new fancy car. I'd rather have Jesus. There's nothing between my soul and the Savior. You may have all this world. Go ahead, have it. Take my turn. I'd just rather have Jesus. And it's not a slogan anymore. It's a reality. And that's the gift that the Lord is asking. And brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is worth everything. There is nothing more precious than to know God and to be prepared to receive all the spiritual gifts he wants to offer you now and one day glory with him forever. Some texts from Scripture just to talk about the worth of God. St. Paul says, this is from Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8. He says, I consider everything sheer loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whose sake I have already lost all things. They're nothing to me, and I consider them rubbish if only I can gain Christ. Slogan or reality? I hope increasingly for us, a text like this is a reality. Here's another one. St. Paul writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This momentary and light affliction is producing for us a weight of glory beyond all compare. Brothers and sisters, the Lord has said part of our way to the kingdom is going to involve suffering. All right, Lord, bring it on. It's worth it because there's an even greater glory waiting for me. If that's what I have to go through to get it, bring it on. Praise you, Jesus. I'm ready. Now, all right, Jesus, can we negotiate? Let's be a little gentle here, but all right, but you see, run towards the kingdom. You know, we're sort of a youth culture, and people get like, oh, you're starting to get older. Isn't it awful? No, because it means I'm getting closer to home. And as I get closer, I start to pick up the pace. I might need to use a cane and then a walker, but I'm still going to keep running. I'm going to run to Jesus. And I'm like you, you know, I suppose we, you know, having joints that aren't sore all the time has its place. But to me, it's a kind of a sign that, all right, I'm getting older, but that means I'm getting wiser. It means God's continuing to work in me, and He's getting ready for me, and soon enough, I'm going to go home and be with the Lord forever. I can't wait, church. Now, I'm not suicidal. I'm like you. I'd maybe like to finish up a few things before I go. But nevertheless, every day is one day closer to home. Are you praying with me? Little by little, I'm like you. I've left my hair behind. I left my youthful physique, my non-aching joints. That's all right, Lord. It's worth it, because it means I'm getting closer to home. It means, Lord, it's one day closer to you. And Lord, if I have to be on a walker or a wheelchair or a scooter to get in, I'm gonna drive right on in through those pearly gates by your grace. I can't wait, Lord. It's all right. It's all right. Whatever the afflictions, they're producing glory and getting me ready to see you. That's what this text is saying. Again, this affliction is producing for us. If you're sorrowful about your affliction, just tell the devil, it's producing, devil. It's producing. I'm going to praise the Lord anyhow. Ain't no one going to get between me and my Jesus. He told me there'd be crosses, devil. Don't try to discourage me. This affliction is producing for me. The text goes on to say it's producing for us a weight of eternal glory, and it says it's beyond compare. 5 pounds of suffering is 5 trillion pounds of glory. Are you praying with me? You think I'm a heavyweight now? All of us, whatever the affliction, whatever the suffering, it is producing. He also says in Romans 8, we almost read it today, beautifully done, the first reading. It says here, though, it says in a text a little, just a couple verses beyond what we read today. It says here, I consider that the sufferings of this world can't even be compared to the glory that waits. Church, whatever it is, it's worth it. It's worth it. For Scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it has never even dawned on us what God has in store for those who love and trust Him. Church, there is no greater treasure. There is no greater glory. There is nothing greater than knowing God and receiving His kingdom. And little by little, the Lord lets that take root in our heart, and our life begins to simplify, and we're not obsessed with the trinkets of the world. We may need to make use of them. We're still going to need food and shelter. But they're not going to obsess us, and they're not going to enslave us. They're not that important after all. It's only money. God is more important to me. You see the vision? And little by little, our life simplifies. A beautiful line of St. Paul. This one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind in the world and all of its trinkets, for just forgetting all of that, I press on to the prize marked out for me in Christ Jesus, my Lord. So again, that's the great vision. And this is the heart of the gospel today, what the Lord wants to give us, this great gift of preferring nothing and no one to God and the things waiting for us in heaven. Are you praying with me? The final thought, I'll try to keep it brief. There is the what, the pearl and the buried treasure. There's the worth. It's worth everything. And then there is the warning. And basically, the warning comes down to this, the image of the dragnet. And God pulls everyone in at some point. In other words, that's an image for judgment. And there will come then this crucial question that we began with. All right, what is it that you want? What is it that you've always desired? Because what you want, you get. You either want the kingdom or you don't. You're either in love with the kingdom of God, or you're opposed to it. Now, someone might say, well, who would not want to go to heaven? You'd be surprised. You see, a lot of people want to go to heaven, but it's a fake heaven. It is not the real heaven. It's a heaven of their own design. But the real heaven is the kingdom of God in all of its fullness. And what are some things in the kingdom of God? Let me read you just a brief list. It's not exhaustive. But you'll see that there are some people who aren't interested in some of these things. For example, the kingdom of God is about forgiveness, loving one's enemy, mercy, justice, appreciating the dignity of human life and of every human person. It's about love of the poor. It's about chastity. It's about God being at the center, not me. It's a celebration of the truth, of what is good, rather than what is evil. It is a celebration of love, as I said, even the love of those who trouble us and those who hate us. Now, do you see that there are a lot of people that aren't on board with all these things, including some of us? We may struggle with a few of these things. Say, help, Lord! But in the end, this is what the kingdom of God is, and you either want it or you don't. So what the Lord is saying to us today is, listen, come to me, and I will put within you a desire for my kingdom and get you ready for the great day when the net is drawn and you're caught up into that net with everyone else. And the question will finally be asked of you, what have you always wanted? And the Lord is saying to us, pay attention. There comes a moment when your decision for or against the kingdom becomes final and fixed forever. Better choose the Lord today, for tomorrow very well might be too late. Tomorrow is not promised, and so the Lord says, come to me today, and let me put within you a deep and a growing desire for the glorious kingdom that I'm offering you. And if you let me do that, you're going to be ready. And even if you're not perfectly ready, I'll finish the work and bring you right on home. I promise you, says the Lord, I will do this for you. And all I'm asking is for your yes. An old song just says, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. From the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul, I say yes, Lord. Completely yes. Let the Lord give you that grace to say that yes. And there will come to pass for you and for me what I heard my mother say before she died, what I heard my father say, I heard my grandmother say, you can just have all this world. Just give me Jesus. The warning is simply this. In the end, you get what you want. You can have God or not. The choice is yours. I pray. And I see that already as evidence in your life coming out on a hot day. I pray that your yes and my yes will become completely yes, and that we will get what we want. Amen.